He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
Even if you don't love films, Dean's your guy.
I think so.
Even if you hate films.
Right. Even if you think films are the worst thing that's ever happened to our world.
Right. Sent by the devil.
Yes, the devil himself.
Sent by Beelzebub himself.
Right.
Dean.
Dean, I have to ask you a question. Have you ever interviewed Chevy Chase?
I never have, thank goodness.
All right. Well, you say
you may get to now. He's looking for something to do.
He wants to talk to somebody.
He's not going to get a job on Saturday Night Live.
No, I don't think he is. Explain away. He said some very disparaging things about his former TV show,
didn't
he?
Yeah, the place that made him famous. He, in an interview yesterday, somebody, I guess, I've done this a million times, too, with former cast members. What do you think of the new SNL? What do you think of the current cast? And everyone is usually polite enough to, you know, give kind of a nice answer, or at least non-committal answer, even if they don't like it. But Chevy Chase said that he hates the current cast, that he doesn't think what they're doing now is funny, that it's the worst kind of comedy that there could possibly be. He doesn't like the current cast at all, and said that he hasn't been fond of past casts as well, and pointed out two in particular, Will Ferrell and Tina Fey. What have they done in their life?
Hmm.
What have they accomplished?
Hmm. That's so strange. And what do you think is behind that? I've seen him
jealousy.
Do this before. Is it jealousy?
That's
is
what
it?
I think.
Yeah?
Somebody suggested to me that he may have been joking. I don't think so. I don't get the sense that he is. I think that it's like jealousy, sour grapes.
His personality is like that.
I don't know why anybody would just go out of their way to be so mean.
You know, one of my friends from college ran the show Community for years, and I asked him one time, I go, what's that like working with Chevy Chase? And he just stared at me. Mm. No words came. He just stared at me. And I go, that must be kind of fun working with him, right? And he goes, I haven't experienced any of that yet.
Wasn't he asked to leave the show?
Yes. Dan Hartman, the other guy who created the show, at some point had a fight with him, and yeah, they had to leave. Yeah.
So I think I've heard that he's can be a little bit cantankerous to deal with, that he can be a little bit of a handful.
Did you hear the story about him and Bill Murray? This is years and years and years ago, after Chevy Chase left, and essentially Bill Murray replaced him in the cast,
and before like overshadowed him completely.
Overshadowed him. And they had a fist fight right before airtime one night.
I'd heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole bushel of crazy going on there.
Very strange.
I like that.
The other thing I wanted to ask you was...
I try to keep things autumnal.
Yeah, you're good.
It's a horn of plenty of crazy.
It is, isn't it? Roseanne, who's still in the news, may have given away how her character is no longer on the show.
Was it the knee surgery I suggested?
Not directly, kind of in an indirect way.
See, I've been tiptoeing around this all week.
I don't want to say.
It's
do you?
A great story, but I don't. If what they're saying is true, I don't want to, you know, be the one to.
Well, how'd you guys find out about
it? It's all over the internet.
Chevy Chase
then
told me.
Tell people.
He called me.
Tell people to cover their ears.
You watch Roseanne. I'm trying to spoil this for as many people as possible.
Are you either of you going to watch it? Because I am going
I am
to watch.
Watch it.
And
I'm
you
watch it.
Is it going to ruin it for you now that you know, Bill?
I kind of wish I didn't know, but then I also think she may have just been feeding us false information. Maybe
I would believe that.
Didn't the information come from someplace other than her as well?
Well, John Goodman at some point had said, they asked how his character Dan Connor would be, and he goes, well, how do you think he is? His wife just died. Yeah. And everybody goes, oh, we didn't know she was going to die, but
yes,
I guess
we
now
did.
We do. Well, at that point, they had the option, kind of, didn't they, of just writing her off, leaving them? Maybe the
that
family was too much for
happened.
Her.
Right.
I heard that Dick Sargent was going to take
Dick
over.
Dick Sargent?
Oh,
as
boy.
The new Roseanne.
Best name ever.
Right.
Wendy.
Right. All right. So you say, Dean, and again, we will not give away Roseanne's explanation for her character no longer being on the show, but you say that's probably the way that they'll play it, right?
It seems, we know that she's going to die. Yeah. That was given away by John Goodman.
Yeah.
But it the manner in which...
You can say it. I just went to look it up.
It could happen. It seems like a very likely scenario and a timely one. You know, one that's topical and in the news and all that.
But then, do you think they'll address it more than just that first episode back? Will that be a storyline that continues throughout the season?
I don't know how they can't not reference it from, you know, certainly from time to time.
Yeah.
In dealing with the death of a family member,
right,
on that show, and as much of an influence as she had on all the other characters. You know, others are going to have to react. Well, you know, your mom would have done this, or, you know, this would have happened.
Right.
You know, if Roseanne was still here.
I don't like the way that she said that.
You
Roseanne's
just looked it up online?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't believe her.
Yeah, she may be feeding us false. There's a chance that it's false information.
Maybe. Or maybe she's trying to spoil it.
Oh,
she doesn't want the spinoff to be as impactful.
Oh. That's mean. She's the queen of mean now.
She's the queen of mean. Yeah. Yep, she's the new queen of mean. All right, we'll take
it. All right, I'm going to tell what it is.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
She gets all the kids, and they climb a mountain singing Climber
River. Sound of Music?
They go to a convent,
yeah,
and they can't use the car, and they climb a mountain singing a song ironically called Climb Every Mountain.
Do they ford a stream? Is it Ford?
They ford every stream.
Search.
Because that was the car that didn't work.
Every rainbow. Yeah, right.
Until you find your dream.
Well, now everybody knows.
Yeah. Well, we sang that name.
It's Rodgers and Hammerstein's Roseanne coming soon.
I would watch that
be
in
great.
A second.
That'd be so good. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then Dean will talk about the new movies coming out this weekend.
As you live.
Stay tuned for that. It's Bill and Wendy and Dean Richards on WGN. Dean Richards is our guest, entertainment reporter for WGN TV. And let's start out with House... with a clock in its walls. That's with Jack Black, right, Dean?
Are you familiar with this book series at all?
I'm not.
Wendy might be.
I don't.
For the kids?
Uh-uh.
This would be right about there when they were a little very popular book series that was out like 10, 12 years ago. Something.
It has a Lemony Snicket flavor to it,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Very much so. Very much so. Very Lemony Snicket, very almost a little Beetlejuicy, almost a little Harry Potter-like it is. The story of a young boy whose parents are killed in an automobile accident.
That's a great kid story, let me tell you.
And they all lived happily ever after.
Right.
Well, you know, really, what I said about this movie when I walked out of it was, not when I walked out because I didn't like it when it was over, when it was over and I left, that it reminded me of old-fashioned kids' movies that, you know, didn't coddle kids and, you know, wasn't so worried about being politically correct on every measure, that there were some sad and scary things that happened. And there are things like that in this movie, starting off with the young kid Lewis's parents who get killed in a car crash. He's sent to live with his very eccentric uncle in a creepy old house. He gets there to learn that his uncle is a warlock. And he is living with his friend, who's played by Kate Blanchett, who is a witch, a good, friendly witch. And this house is just filled with supernatural activity and crazy, you know, wall hangings and furniture that moves and talks. Really kind of cute and fun. But there is evil lurking here because a curse had been set. To turn the house is also full of clocks, by the way, and there is a constant ticking within the walls that nobody can find. A clock has been sent there, part of this evil curse, to turn back time on the Earth that would erase everything that's happened, to reset Earth right back to its beginning in order to get rid of all the evil. So
I wish we could do that in real life.
Uncle Warlock and his friend the witch and the little boy have to try to fight this and find a way to save the day. And there are some moments that are really a little bit scary. Little kids might be a little scared at this movie, but it's like, as I say, it's like an old-fashioned kind of sci-fi movie. The movies that we already mentioned are good examples of kind of the feel and flavor of this movie, but Jack Black is perfect in this. Kate Blanchett is perfect in this. The kids that are featured in the movie are also quite great. I like this movie. I wound up giving it a Dean's List B.
Oh, very nice. It
sounds good. Stupid title, though. I got to tell you, The House with a Clock in Its Walls.
That's the. I think that's the book title directly, right?
It is. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I should have thought harder on that.
Life Itself is from the creator of This Is Us, and it kind of has some undertones. It reminds me of This Is Us a little bit.
It's very This Is Us-like in that there's one twist after another and things that you don't see coming at all. It's hard for me to explain this movie without giving thing like really crucial, important things away. So I'm going to have to be a little bit evasive about it, but it's the story of two generations of families on different continents that are going through joyful things in their lives and horribly sad and tragic things in their lives. It seems like all these people are completely separated and have no connection. But in this very This Is Us sort of way, and the creator of all of that, Dan Fogelman, these stories very cleverly intertwine, but it's complex. It's a maze of stories. I mean, you really have to stay with the story in order to understand the relationships between two generations of families that are set through flashbacks and narrations to help you understand it and walk through it. It's a very interesting story. I mean, the movie is called Life Itself, and it really is just slice of life. That's really what I can tell you best to describe.
Will it make me cry?
This movie's life.
Everything makes
definitely.
You cry.
It is definitely going to make you cry.
Oh, good.
Roger Ebert's movie was also called Life Itself.
It sure was.
That's what kind of confused me when this came out.
Yep. But this is it's not a perfect movie. As I say, it's more complex than it needs to be.
But life isn't perfect, Dean.
But life isn't perfect.
Nope.
I mean, that's sort of... I mean, this movie, the reviews on this movie, it's really getting completely trashed. And I didn't feel that way, anything about it at all. I like a nice emotional movie. I like something that makes you think and, you know, kind of reflect on life and so forth. And this one very definitely does that. My only problem with it, it's just a little more... The storytelling... It was a little more complex than it needed to be. They got a little over clever in the complexity department. You know what it is? They gave me a boatload of complexity.
Yep,
a horn of plenty of complexity.
That's too much complexity.
That's too
what
much.
What was your Dean's List on?
I gave this a Dean's List C.
C. Okay. Let's go. There's two different documentaries. Both look very interesting. Michael Moore's new movie, Fahrenheit.
Michael Moore's new movie is one of his last documentaries was Fahrenheit 9/11. That was about George W. Bush and his criticism of George W. Bush and everything that was going on with the war at that time. This one is called Fahrenheit 11/9. That is an examination of the first year and a half of the Donald Trump years. Depending on how you feel politically, probably is going to depend on whether or not you like this movie or not.
Sure.
I think I'll just leave it at only because I don't have all day to answer hate mail.
Yeah.
And tell you what I think of the movie. What do you think? It's going to be Michael Moore. Telling us what he thinks of Donald Trump in a very Michael Moore. Sort of way. So, you know, if you don't like Michael Moore and you don't want to hear any criticism of Donald Trump, don't go see this movie. It's a well-done documentary, you know, just as it's constructed and so forth. And I'll leave it to everybody to make up their own minds about what they think about the content of it all. Another documentary that's worth seeing this weekend is called Love, Gilda. And it is about the wonderful and lovely and talented Gilda Radner. And it's a documentary about her life and her story. And this is, I think, very beautiful, and a lovely love story and a, you know, sad story of that somebody who was so talented and seemingly so lovely and caring about others, you know, just like Chevy Chase,
right.
Die so young. So those are in, you know, select theaters around the area, and you can find those, and you can check those out. I also wanted to mention that the Music Box Theater's 70mm Film Festival is beginning this weekend,
mm-hmm.
and they're taking some classic movies. They set up a special screen that can accommodate 70-millimeter films, which gives you, you know, next to an IMAX theater is an IMAX screen is about the biggest venue in which to watch a movie. And in many cases, this size screen was how some films were intended to be seen, like Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah.
I've never seen, I don't think I've ever seen that on a big screen. I've only seen that on television, I think. So to see that on 70 millimeter would be super cool. Back to the Future, Indiana Jones, they've got a whole list of movies that they're going to be showing now through September 27th at the Music Box on North Southport.
Perfect.
Fun.
Yep. Dean, we appreciate it as always and hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Likewise. We'll see you soon, guys.
That's Dean Richards, everybody. We'll take a quick break. Wendy and I are headed toward the stream. Come with us. The stream is a lot of fun. It's very safe now, too. Or stick around here and listen to the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.